We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Good, baby. We in here, man. Welcome into the Thursday, September 19th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Corey's got to say something tomorrow, right?
He's got to acknowledge
he's in Sacramento and there are just slums everywhere.
He's probably going off tomorrow. He's going to be like, we're here in the worst. Jacob, he's back home. Like he's got
to
go.
Corey needs to tell a story about how he was almost jumped walking to the arena or something like that. Like play it up.
Who was almost shot? I mean, it's a Kevin Nash story, so you never know if it's real. Was it like Vader or somebody?
It sounds right. I think it was Vader. I vaguely remember that story, I think.
Like Vader almost got killed in Sacramento because he was at like the wrong 7-Eleven or something.
What? I've never heard this story.
Or maybe it was Bam Bam. It was one of them big dudes. I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of them dudes out there.
Sounds like some that would happen to Bam Bam.
It actually does. You're 100% right. It doesn't sound like something that would happen to Vader. It sounds like something that would happen to Bam Bam for sure. Man, we appreciate you for being with us. SmackDown is tomorrow, man. Shout out to everybody who's going. Shout out to people who won. I think we gave away some ringside tickets. I can't remember if it was this station or the other one, but I know one of our stations did. We've got a lot to do today. Matt George is going to be with us in the final hour of the show. We got game number...
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Game number seven in the top 20 games of the Kings season. This is a good one.
Yeah.
This is a good one. And thank you for reminding me why I had like zero recollection of my emotional reaction to this. It's because it was a Friday night game that we watched in its entirety Saturday morning. That will be it. We were gathered around our phones. I believe it was at the Sacramento Memorial Auditorium.
That's right.
We'll explain that once we get there. Game tonight, week three of the NFL season gets underway. It's the Jets and Patriots. I know you're not super interested in that, and I completely understand.
Maybe not super interested, but I'm still interested. Like, it's still a game. Still a game, and it's still early enough where there's implications. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here that I like at this point in the season, and you know, spot on. It's early, right? And I haven't had a chance to watch a New England Patriots game. Mm-hmm. I was able to see like a condensed version of the fourth quarter of their week one win. Didn't really dive in very much to what happened in week two. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see them for the first time. I think they have a host of issues against this New York Jets team, who I think is quite mediocre. Mm-hmm. And the problem for them being the Patriots is it's really the Jets offense that's mediocre. Their defense is going to cause some problems for you. And that's going to open up a conversation that we'll have. We kind of started it yesterday. We've actually, in a roundabout way, we've had it all week. And it really started with the Bryce Young news. Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. And of course, we had, you know, Caleb Williams in a primetime game against C.J. Stroud. And that's getting a little run here today that we'll get to at some point. But there's starting to be more dialogue about young quarterbacks mm-hmm. and starting for bad teams like Carolina. Mm-hmm. Drake May not starting was a really... When it first happened, when the Patriots saying we're going with Jacoby Brissett, it felt like a really strong indictment of Drake May and the way that he played during the preseason and maybe perhaps even the way that he had played during practice. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks into the season, to me, it's clear, or I don't want to say it's clear. I'm leaning towards this is not an indictment on Drake May. This is what the New England Patriots are, and they may have recognized something and thought that Jacoby Brissett would better be suited for that. But we can get to all of that. I'm curious to see what both of these teams look like. I've maintained, as much as I don't like Aaron Rodgers, as much as I believe he's not going to be particularly good this year, I do think as the season goes along, he'll be better. He is completely immobile right now. I don't know how much the Patriots are going to be able to press him, but this is one that I feel like will favor the Jets. And if it doesn't, it creates some interesting questions, because we talk about Aaron Rodgers, and on the other side, you talk about Drake May. You talk about all these different things, but if people really believe the Patriots are good, you might have a Bob Saleh problem.
Yeah, I mean, you mean the Jets are good.
Jets, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I look at this one for the Jets, and I'm not buying that the Patriots are a good team.
That's fine.
Are they gritty? Are they tough? Are they well coached? Maybe so, but they're not talented enough. And if you're the Jets and you can't win this one in your home opener, mm-hmm. with the problems that.
By the way, if the Jets had any balls at all, Aaron Rodgers would win out with an American flag.
They be careful with that.
That was Star Spangled Banner playing in the background as he takes the field.
That was a lone highlight last year. No. They said Aaron Rodgers' highlight mixtape with the Jets was him running out, and that was it. It was over.
Lean into the bit, man.
I should laying laugh. Into the man bit. Got hurt. I should laugh at that. Oh. But
he healed it through the miracle of darkness.
Well, and he's got a Netflix show to talk about it coming up. Great. So
you guys can let me know how that is.
but excuse me, you should be handling the Patriots at home, and especially like with the when you talk about the matchups, seems like a bad matchup for New England, because maybe New England is tough enough to play on the defensive end,
yeah,
and compete on the defensive end, especially with their coach being a defensive guy. Maybe that can happen, but their offense isn't there, and your defense is there, allegedly, if you're the Jets. And if you mess around and lose this game, you know, to a team that's kind of tailor-made for a win for you, it's got to raise a gang of concerns. And I just don't see it happening. I think the Jets, it may be ugly. I don't know if they'll blow them out or what, but I think they'll find a way to get this win tonight and go to 2-1. 2-1 for the Jets.
I'm going to root for the Patriots. But I think you're right. This feels like a Jets game. It does feel like the Jets are better. But it really boils down to just, I want to watch the Patriots. Mm. They kind of did get my attention with a week one win. Mm. And it wasn't like, what a win. It was just like, oh, they did it. Huh. They couldn't fall into victories before. Like, change, you know, sometimes can change. Sometimes it's just a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's all that was, that week one win was for the Patriots. But I am I didn't actually really realize it till maybe yesterday. We started to like look at the, you know, what's ahead. And I was like, actually, I kind of want to watch this game. Mm-hmm. And I do want to see how. I do want to see how the Jets evolve. Mm-hmm. I want to see how their season progresses. Because, again, I was wrong. But, like, right now they look mediocre at best to me. They don't look like a good football team. They don't look like a team I would be even remotely afraid of if I was the Chiefs or the Texans or the Bills or anyone. Mm-hmm. But that can change as the season goes along. And whether I like it or not, I do think Aaron Rodgers is going to be better as the season progresses.
And see, I look at it the opposite way. I rather see the Jets. Like, I'm interested in the Jets. I'm not really interested in the Patriots at all. Mainly because I don't think they have the players. You know what I mean? There's nobody. I don't want to see Jacoby Brissett. They don't have Judon no more. Mm. So they don't have the pieces that interest me, because this game isn't going to tell me much of anything about the Patriots, in my opinion. The Jets, it tells me a lot about who they are and who they could be. And I'm interested to see the Jets in this game. I want to see how they perform. I want to see, you know, if they're starting to become a connection with some of those weapons, with Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and all that. So,
but help me out here. You don't think the Patriots are good.
No. And I don't, like, there ain't nothing they could do tonight to make me think they will be good.
So,
that doesn't mean, you know, if they're still playing well in week six, I'll be like, nah, I was wrong. They're a good team. But there's nothing they can do tonight. They could beat the Jets 23-3, and I still won't think they're good.
But, well, I think that's a fair point. I think the story out of this game, one way or another, is going to be the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. But I meant more along the lines of, if the Jets beat a bad team, what's there really to take away from it?
Not a whole lot. Like, I'm not going to take away much from the Jets.
I feel like we might have a few weeks before we really see the Jets. They got the Vikings in week five, and you know, who knows what the Vikings look like at that point. Not shade, just they're a week-to-week story.
Yeah.
And then it's Buffalo in week six.
Yeah. The story would be the Jets, like, doing what they're supposed to do finally, because the way they looked against Tennessee, like, even though they won that game, they didn't look good at all. And Tennessee is not, like, this team who's going to be frisky or anything like that. But for everything the Jets say, and you come out and you look bad today.
But what if they win 10-3?
Then I think that's still. And
are you looking at them sideways if they win 10-3?
No, you know why? For me, at least, because I'll just chalk it up to Thursday night.
Boy,
which is all.
I got more excuses for Aaron Rodgers than
Thursday night. Is Thursday night.
It ain't Aaron Rodgers. I want to see Bob Salah to keep his job.
How you feel about Brett Favre?
Well, that's not my boy. That's the tribal chief. I want to see Bob Salah keep his job, but. So that's actually a default.
And I don't think that I brought that up earlier. I don't think it's fair to blame Robert Saleh for what's going on. And
that's actually a default for me for any Thursday game. If it looks bad, it's Thursday. Just get out. Just survive. I never hold a win against the team on Thursday.
The game will be low scoring too. I think, like, Patriots defense is legit. Like, I don't think they're, like, top five, elite of the elite or whatever. They could be top 10 or whatever. But, like, they're good enough to hold the Jets. It's just, if you're the Jets, you need to win this game. Otherwise, you might be fraud watch.
I can't believe I'm going to utter this sentence, but I am. We'll talk more about the Patriots when we get back. JT Lowe is asking, what's on Casey's hat? JT, they're diamonds. That's what they are.
What? Come on. They're called blips. It's blips.
Several
blips.
They're called carrots. They're several carrots.
They shine. I can see it through the studio.
They're called blips.
Head over to train for the mere regular folks. Go to trainwithmap.fit /ESPN1320. Take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation. Kenny pays thousands of dollars for those.
What?
The Train with Map gives it to us for free. trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. You could book a free nutritionist consultation. It could be over the phone. It could be through Zoom. It could be through email. Whatever your preference is, they'll do that. They also have a free macro calculator there. And the link to maptrition.com right there on the website for all of the different supplements that we've talked about here on this show. trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. We're just getting started. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. On. Does anyone have worse food takes than what's good? Somebody get Kyle Madsen in here for this mac and cheese thing that took place earlier on this radio station. Man. We've got
mac and cheese. Shout out French Montana.
That's your boy.
I do like French.
I know you do.
You're all right.
It's one of our early KSFM fights, with your love for French Montana and hate for 21 Savage.
Well, see how the media twists everything up? That is not how that happened.
Pretty sure it is. I recall it. So we were talking about, obviously, week three starts tonight, Jets Patriots. I know it's not like the sexiest thing in the world, but I think once you get past that matchup, there's something to watch here, or at least something to pay attention to. And you're hearing people be pretty vocal about it, and it's weird watching the media do this, like, in real time, like, because we lived through this. Bryce Young wasn't drafted that long ago.
Right.
Bryce Young, from a media perspective, now what coaches say, I don't know. What general managers say, I don't know. What scouts say, I'm not sure. I think that's where a lot of these guys get their messages. But Kuipers and Schefters and all of these people who were put, it was Bryce Young, Bryce Young, Bryce Young, Bryce Young for like a year. He wasn't Trevor Lawrence or anything, but he was the Alabama quarterback. And it was like, hey, he might be the best Alabama quarterback they've had. He's going to be the number one overall pick. He is the consensus number one overall pick. Now everybody seems to be backing away from that. Ah, he's small. Ah, he doesn't have the playmaking ability that like a Kyler Murray has. He doesn't have the ability to move with his legs like some of these other smaller guys. Like even Baker can move with his legs. He doesn't have that. Now all of a sudden there's all these things wrong with Bryce Young. The same guy 2 years ago y'all were hyping up. Now all of a sudden there's something wrong with him. Okay? That analysis would have been fantastic 2 years ago, but y'all didn't have it. Hindsight's 20/20. Everybody can see Bryce Young clearly now, except for those people who are looking at the Carolina Panthers a little bit funny. And they're recognizing what we talked about. They're recognizing that Baker Mayfield was good in Cleveland. He did just fine in Los Angeles as a backup, stepped off the plane and won a game, and he's been terrific in his time with Tampa Bay. There's one place where he hasn't been able to play, and it's Carolina. They said Sam Darnold could win the starting job for the San Francisco 49ers last year. Now, whether that was genuine or not, I'm not really sure. But Sam Darnold was a guy who seemed to be respected during his time with the San Francisco 49ers last year. He's doing really well right now with the Minnesota Vikings. How long that lasts, that's going to be a story to unfold this year. He couldn't play in New York, who has a reputation of destroying quarterbacks. And he couldn't play in Carolina, who is developing a reputation for destroying quarterbacks. And now all of a sudden, the conversation about franchises and how they're handling these young quarterbacks is getting a little bit louder. The Caleb Williams conversation, the Chicago Bears. How different is that Chicago Bears team with Caleb Williams than it was Justin Fields? Is Justin Fields really that bad? I'm not sure. He's 2-0 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, though. And the concerns that I had with Justin Fields, they're still in play with Caleb Williams because Caleb Williams doesn't play on the offensive line. He is not the number one overall pick who plays on that offensive line. He's the number one overall pick who's a quarterback. You've got to get guys to protect him. You've got to get guys to protect all of these young quarterbacks. And that leads us to New England. It was all of this talk during training camp and those really those preseason games was because we don't see anything else. We see the preseason games. Drake May not looking too good. Now, admittedly, with those reports, you heard that I don't know that he's having the best training camp either. But he didn't look good during those games. Then all of a sudden in comes Jacoby Brissett, old reliable. Jacoby Brissett steps in, he becomes the starting quarterback, and we look like this is an indictment of Drake May. And now I'm not sure that it is. Now I'm going to hold off on praising the New England Patriots for pulling Drake May back because they may have done it for a variety of different reasons. But looking at what Jacoby Brissett is going through under center for the New England Patriots, Drake May would be getting murdered out there. You talked about this... It was Andy Dalton. You said, like, Andy's been in the league a little bit longer. He can see things a split second faster. Doesn't mean that he's better. It doesn't mean that he just sees things differently because he's been through this so many times. Bryce can't see those things yet. Doesn't mean he never will. It just means he can't see them right now. And maybe the ability to see something that much quicker makes playing with a bad offensive line a little bit easier for a veteran quarterback.
Right.
And looking at what Jacoby Brissett's doing, who's doing his damnedest out there, he's getting pressured at an extraordinarily high rate because that New England Patriots offensive line is not good. And I wonder how much Caleb Williams' success or lack thereof, whichever winds up happening, influences the conversation of what happens with young quarterbacks moving forward. Because Caleb was another guy, and we discussed his flaws, I feel like, the entire season. We did. You and I did on this show, particularly you. And he was still the consensus number one overall pick. Are they going to back away from that? Or are we going to start to see more of what I feel like has bubbled up this week? Like, that team is not ready to protect a franchise quarterback right now.
So you think, like, not taking a quarterback? Like, not taking a Caleb, number one?
Or not playing him right away?
I think it should definitely be not playing him. I think you probably agree.
I think you have to take the player.
Yeah.
If he's there and you believe that's your guy, you've got to take him. But you have to manage that correctly.
Yeah, I'd have no problem just not playing him. Like, that, we kind of went through this a little bit with – Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. When I remember during that time, Everybody, just play Trey Lance. You moved up. Da-da-da-da-da, play him. He's not ready to play.
Yeah.
No, don't play him. Sit him all year. Get the vet in there. Let him do what he does. And we'll see Trey Lance next year. That's essentially what happened until he ended up getting hurt. But the whole thing, I was looking for this quote from Gerard Mayo, and I'm trying to piece it all together. But I remember during maybe one of the weeks in the preseason, he hadn't chose who the quarterback was at the time. And he said, I think this is the quote. He said, there are a lot of factors that led to this choice. Or maybe he just decided to go with Jacoby Brissett or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he said, there are a lot of factors that led to this choice. I think the hard part is thinking in the short term and the long term at the same time. As an organization, we feel Jacoby gives us our best chance to win right now. See, that wasn't exactly it. But he said something to the effect of Drake may have played well, but there's a lot of things that go into the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it raised eyebrows. He said something to that extent. And mm-hmm. I think that's what he was alluding to. Like, whether it was starting Drake May or having him on the bench or something like that, it's not as cut and dry as, or at least it shouldn't be, as he's the number three pick, so you got to play him. Like, no. He may be good enough. He may be the franchise quarterback. We could have all the confidence in the world in him. But if this isn't the best situation for him to start out in, he don't need to be playing. He don't need to be out there. And at least week one. You know, it could be a situation where, yeah, he's out there come week eight, mm-hmm. you know, after seeing the league for a little bit. But, yeah, week one, he don't need to be out there right now. And I'm in full agreement with that. Unless it's somebody that just super, super special. Or anything else like that, I'm all for, and I know this is the ultimate example of success, but I'm all for Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes. All for, even if you don't have a quarterback as good as Alex Smith, even you look at Andy Dalton, go ahead. Andy Dalton, be a placeholder. Ryan Fitzpatrick, go ahead, be a placeholder, you know, for a little bit. I'm not even saying.
Well, Joe Flacco wasn't good.
Flacco.
That last year, he wasn't. Like, he wasn't good that last year in Baltimore. And I don't think there was ever an intention to play Lamar until Flacco got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think changed everything, was when Flacco got hurt. And then if you remember, that changed the Baltimore's fortunes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lamar got in there and they started winning games.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they would have done that had he not gotten hurt, right. If had Joe Flacco not gotten hurt.
I'm all for that. I'm all for sitting these young quarterbacks, letting them see the league for at least half the season. Just see the league, because training camp and all that, and even preseason football, it's not the same. It's not the same, man. And especially now where in the preseason none of these starters are playing and schemes and, you know, like, learn the game. That's why I really hope, and I'm not sure if this is the case or not, but we talked about it. I really hope Carolina's just looking at this as, let's give Bryce Young a breather. Let's allow him to take a step back and see things a little bit and get his feet under him, and not a demotion as he's the problem or he's not good enough or anything else like that. I wouldn't – Bryce Young – there were – I did – to be fair, I did hear some of the concerns going into the draft with Bryce Young, mainly – how short he was, mm-hmm. how slight he was.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, can he make it?
It was very loud.
I kept hearing Russell Wilson, but even when they would say Russell Wilson, it was like Russell Wilson was just kind of short. Like, he wasn't as slim as Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all that to say, like, let him find what works for him in this league. Give him an opportunity to find those things. Even if you had those concerns, you can bring him along a little slower than what Carolina has. I don't think that he's just damaged goods. I don't think at this point he's just damaged goods for not only the rest of the league, but for Carolina. Like, Carolina, you can still salvage him as your number one pick. Let him get his legs under him. Let him just kind of hit the reset button a little bit.
The difficulty with this conversation and this line of thinking is it's not universal. right? It doesn't work for everyone. If you're the Patriots, you're bad. Like, you're not a good football team, and you're a ways away from being a good football team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the tough part. This isn't basketball, right? Oftentimes through the draft in basketball, unless you land a Victor Wembanyama, it could take a while for you to rebuild a bad roster, for you to get back to a place where you're competing for playoffs, play-ins, and such and such. In football, sometimes we see the turnaround quick. Houston's a perfect example. We saw the turnaround lightning quick with Houston. And some of these teams have to recognize, like the Patriots, you're not in the position that the Houston Texans were. And maybe they did recognize that, and that's why Drake May isn't playing right now. Carolina is not in that position. Chicago feels like they're in a little bit different of a position than those guys, than those other two teams we just named, because Chicago has something built up a little bit more on the defensive end.
Just to that point, too, and Chicago thought they fixed their offensive line.
Well, I was going to say they felt like they've done a little bit more on the offensive end. No, you're good, but you're right. And so in that situation, not playing Caleb might not fit. The offensive line has to be better, because if you feel like you went out there and you did the things to make your offense, you took the steps. Mm-hmm. You knew what you were doing. Mm-hmm. You took the steps to make sure that your new shiny number one draft pick was protected. Then good for you. You've got to get them to perform, though.
Yeah.
And that's a lot different than what Carolina is. Carolina is performing. This is as good as they are, right? New England, this is as good as they are. And that's why the conversation is difficult to have, because it's not a hat that one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
It's Carolina's not in the same position as Chicago.
Right.
Neither of these teams, you know, there were some things there that people liked on Houston. CJ did what he did, and Houston leaned heavy into it. They were like, oh, we got one. Mm-hmm. We got one. Let's go get Stephon Diggs. He made Nico Collins a name in the NFL last year. Okay, all right, let's build this out a little bit. Let's make sure he's protected. Let's get him some weapons, and let's do the things we need to do to compete here in the AFC.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I feel like general managers are always going to feel like they're right there. Like the Denver one is interesting.
Mm.
I don't think Denver's good. Mm-hmm. I think Denver thinks that they're good. Denver has blamed everybody. Hell, their coach blamed the old coach. Mm. They blamed Russell Wilson.
That guy.
At some point, you're going to run out of people to blame.
Right.
And at some point, you have to look at your team and go, yeah, this isn't, maybe we're not as good as we thought. Hmm. And that, unfortunately, that's going to put their new quarterback in a difficult spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Bo Nix is.
And there's also the other school of thought, which, like you said, and I agree with, you can't treat every situation the same and treat every player the same. Sometimes, and maybe Denver's looking at it like this, because I don't know if Denver necessarily thinks they're good, but I think Sean Payton may look at it as, go get your lumps now. Mm. Like, go learn on the job, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'll make it where it's not disastrous for you. Like, I'll protect you as a coach where it's not completely disastrous, but I want you out there getting those reps, learning about the NFL game on the fly as opposed to on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that works. Like, sometimes I'm not saying Bo Nix is this or anybody's. It worked for Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, what, did he lead the league in interceptions his mm-hmm. first year? And he took his lumps, he figured
and still had
out
a crazy statistical year.
Yeah.
Besides all of that.
Yeah. You know, it worked for, to a certain degree, it worked for, you know, guys like Mariota and Cam Newton. You know what I mean? They came in as rookies and played, and Cam a little bit more than Mariota eventually. Yeah. But at the time,
well, no, Cam was really good his rookie year.
I'm talking about like historic, like for the length of their career. Like Mariota kind of fizzled out first couple of years. Cam sustained it. But I'm thinking of Jameis. Jameis came in because Jameis and Mariota were the same,
mm-hmm.
and Jameis came in and played pretty well his first couple years until he kind of fizzled out. But he wasn't.
I can't remember who Jameis started his career with.
Tampa.
Oh, he did start with Tampa.
Tampa.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Tampa.
Okay.
I think
for some reason I was feeling like Tampa. Well, if we didn't throw 30 interceptions this year, we would have made the playoffs. Like, I couldn't remember if, like, was he drafted by Tampa and Mariota was Tennessee?
Yeah, he was drafted by Tampa. That's
Tennessee right. In Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh. God, that feels like an eternity ago.
Man, it was crazy.
That feels so long ago.
And when I think of them, I think of the Rose Bowl. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That, it doesn't seem that long.
Jameis won a national championship.
He did.
That's ridiculous. That Florida State team was. Whatever, dude.
They were Thank good. God. No, they were the truth.
No, they were not.
They were the truth.
They were man. The no. They were not. They were they are the poster children for the BCS. What happened to next year?
They went to the playoffs.
And what happened?
They got beat by Oregon.
And who won that year?
Who?
I don't know who won that year.
I turned it off after the semifinals.
I think Ohio State was like 13-0 that year. They were being punished.
Were they 13?
Wasn't that Urban Meyer's first year?
Speaking of, did you hear some of these rumors? They're just rumors.
Oh, no.
They're just rumors.
Oh, no. Where?
Going back home.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
I saw some blips. Some blips out there. I'm not saying they have validity or anything else like that.
Aren't the blips?
Maybe they're just Twitter rumors. Maybe they're just Twitter rumors.
Aren't the blips the thing on your hat that are made of diamonds?
They are. They're not made of diamonds.
They are made of diamonds. Blips. Everybody sees them.
If I'm mistaken, was it Urban Meyer before the season? Be like, yeah, I don't know how else they could lose. They have all these players, all this money. No chance they lose this.
Man. That's what he said this year?
I think so, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, hold on. Okay. You were right. First of all, you were right. Urban Meyer said that ship has sailed.
Oh, so he's come out and said no go.
I want that program to do well so bad. I know so many people there, and we gave a big part of our life to that program, but that ship has sailed. Don't mean the ship can't come back.
They wanted him to come home.
That's incredible. Oh man,
that's crazy. But I wonder when the trend started of this guy has to play right away. Was it Eli?
Ooh,
was it Peyton?
I don't feel like it was Peyton. I'm trying to remember. Because
we're old enough to remember that wasn't always the norm.
It wasn't the norm.
Well, sometimes they would, right? Like, sometimes. Like, didn't Ryan Leaf start right away that same year?
Well, that was the greatest draft decision class in history. It was Ryan Leaf or Peyton.
Did you ever watch that Heisman Trophy thing? It's really good. Remember I told you?
I didn't watch the Heisman thing. I watched the Ryan Leaf. I don't know if it was a 30 for 30 or if it was an E60.
The Heisman thing is awesome.
David Carr, was he the number one pick?
He was. He got beat up.
Yeah, Houston.
He started immediately, right?
Yeah, they killed him.
Yeah.
He got sacked, like, was it like 60 or 70 times?
Yeah, they beat
I
him.
I feel like maybe after that, because Matt Ryan was 07, he was the number one pick. He was immediate starter, I believe. Maybe from then at least, where it was just more normal.
I feel like it might have been Peyton, though.
Maybe it was.
Maybe that's where
Ryan
it started.
David Carr.
Derek is currently playing for the Saints.
That's right. I always get him confused. David, he did God's work, though, in the first game.
I don't remember.
They beat the Cowboys in their first ever game.
Oh.
Did God's work.
That was their first ever game. We had a stat on that game the other day. I can't remember when it was. When did quarterback start? I don't. There's no way I'm gonna be able to find this.
Yeah, it's an impossible question by me. But
I feel like there was a particular year where it got really loud, and I don't know if that was. I don't know what year that was. I don't know, but it feels like for the first time, maybe the conversation is shifting, and I think that was the overall point in all of this. For years, it had been since dating back to whenever. You take a quarterback, particularly at one, you're playing them. Like, that's what you're doing. You're taking them in the top five. Like, you're playing that guy. And it feels like maybe for the first time that conversation, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's starting to shift. But the other side of that conversation is getting a little bit louder for the first time.
Is it?
At least for the first time.
Fair to say, I'd have to really, really break this down. But with all the, oh, you got to play right away noise and all this other stuff, is there more evidence of not playing these guys right away? Like, think about the good quarterbacks in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are more of them guys that did not start right away than did? Off the top of my head, Jalen and Dak, they on each side. Dak started right away. Jalen Hurts didn't. Jared Goff started right away, but it took him years to get
Dak. Right. Dak did, but it feels like there's a Doc Rivers quote to that.
I wish you tell the whole story.
He wasn't supposed to.
He wasn't supposed to.
He didn't. Two guys get hurt. Didn't Tony got hurt, and I think Kellen Moore got hurt.
That could be true. Yeah.
And then Dak became the quarterback, and
Did that happen in the same way? Because Dak
I don't know if it happened the same week. I feel like it happened in the preseason though.
It did, but I feel like Dak started, and I remember this. It was the first game back in L.A. It was
Dak
the preseason
absolutely
game. It was preseason game. And he started. Tony had gotten hurt in Seattle the week before. And it was the first. It was preseason week two, but it was the first game back in L.A.
Okay.
Cowboys, Rams. And I feel like Dak started that game.
Kellen Moore broke his ankle or his leg in practice.
Oh, he broke his in practice.
Early August, he broke his leg.
Mm. So he was out before Tony got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
He got elevated to backup.
Okay.
He was supposed to be three,
and
he got elevated.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Kellen broke his leg.
Right. Mm. And so that makes sense. Tony, I think, got hurt the first preseason game.
Yeah.
Because Dak played the preseason and it was really good.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, we know he's starting.
Right.
And then he never lost the job. He sent Tony to Jim Nance's house.
And I just remember the Rams game it makes sense now because that was the first game without Tony. Dak played well, and the news, they might be all right.
Yeah.
They might be okay, because this young guy looked like he's all right.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Stafford started, right?
Stafford started.
Yeah. I don't know. This
Stafford started. Goff. Jordan Love did not.
Jordan Love didn't.
Sam Darnold did, and that hasn't worked out
in New York. Yeah. That's right. In New York, yep.
So Kirk Cousins didn't.
He didn't. He was behind RG3.
Yeah. I'll have to think about it more during the break.
And that's what we'll do. Steve and Casey on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Trask was on my NFL QB.
I remember that.
I remember that. Yeah. I think that
Trask was
might have been
list.
As high as three on that list, I believe. Maybe even two.
I think those were Kenny Caraway couch days.
That list.
Couch, free Invisalign. It was
a gray wall.
Oh boy, the takes were crazy. 2 hours. Had to go back to work afterwards.
You know, Casey was in the trenches the first year, bro.
Casey just left his job on his lunch break, did a radio show, and went back to work.
Had to sneak back.
And look, nobody ever knew. Nobody listened to the show.
Nope. No, pre-streaming days. No one knew ESPN 1320 existed back then.
Yeah, but Trask was on the list. He was on the QB watch list. Mm-mm-mm. So was
what a time.
Was it? There was somebody else on there too. Oh, he wasn't on the watch list. I was always like kind of defending him and saying he needed a chance. Does anybody remember?
Was it Kellen Mond?
That's a name.
Was it Kellen Mond?
No, it wasn't. Although he might have made the list. No, he was already in the NFL. He might have made the list, but that Kellen, that's a hell of a pull right there.
Who?
It was the Rosen one.
Oh, yeah. No, that's hey, that's okay. I'll take the L on that one.
Me too.
Yeah, I'll take the L.
I always tell the story. He was playing quarterback for the Dolphins against the Cowboys, week two, I think it is. He throws a touchdown pass to Devontae Parker. I turned to my dad, I was like, we finally have a quarterback. That lasted about a week and a half, bro.
Boy, I swore he was about to be next. When I saw him as a freshman at UCLA, I was like, yo.
He had a game, I think it was against Texas A&M when he brought back UCLA. That was the one from his, like, yep, Kellen, or not, that, no, Josh Rosen, he's the one.
Wasn't that Chip Kelly's first game? Maybe. I think it might have been.
With UCLA?
Yeah. I think it might have been. But yeah, I thought Josh Rosen was that dude.
Yeah, I'll take the L.
If Kyle would just give him a chance.
Yeah. It went bad. Went so bad.
It was the telltale sign should have been when he was the Cardinals' first round pick, and then they drafted Kyler Murray the next year.
Well, sure, but you also had that the jackass of the general manager.
That's a good point.
Like that was between the general manager and the coach, you set Steve Wilks up to lose. Mm-hmm. You basically made him a patsy. And Steve Klein just there with a job. Like, he wasn't arrested for drunk driving on his, like, first day. You know how stupid you have to be to drink on the job on your first day?
Couldn't imagine it.
And that's what that man did.
Especially being the number one pick, too.
I knew that was coming. As soon as he... Come on, man. That's unacceptable.
You can't do that.
That's unacceptable.
You can't do that. Don't make stupid mistakes.
Oh, man. Sometimes just moving forward in life is all about just being smart. You know, sometimes talent.
Live by the motto of don't be an idiot.
Sometimes it ain't even talent. You just outlast the dumb people. That's all you do.
Boy. We need to get Stacy to put that on a plaque out front. Just outlast the dumb people. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Just outlast the dumb people. And if you don't know who the dumb people are,
they'll show themselves eventually.
Well, it means it's you.
I don't see any dumb people around here.
Well, what's that tell you? That means you're already being talked about at this point.
Oh, man. Hey, there were some names on this list, though. That was crazy. So I think, I don't know.
Well, it's every quarterback ever. So, yeah, there's going to be some names on that list.
But, you know, some like Ronald Curry. You remember the hype for Ronald Curry?
Yes, I do.
Ronald Curry was supposed to be the dude, like one of the greatest. He was going to be Jim Thorpe of this generation.
Oh, my God. And haven't we established that Jim Thorpe is, in fact, trash?
Dude, yeah. We have. There was a video about two months ago, and it's like, okay, yeah, I could do that.
He long jumped like 17 feet.
We called that PE.
Oh, come on.
No, go back and watch the video. I'm not even talking trash. Like, seriously, go back and watch it. 1912, Kenny would have been a gold medalist.
They made a big deal that Jim Thorpe was an Olympian and a football player. Like, who else is going to do it?
There was nobody else in the world.
Like, football players were making $7 to play that at that time.
It was Jim Thorpe and Adam and Eve. That's all.
You know who else was
a
football player? Gorgeous George. Like Ernie Ladd and Bobo Brazil, like all these pro wrestlers were like, this football stuff is garbage. I'm gonna go wrestle. I'll make more money. That was who Jim Thorpe was running against.
Yeah, it's not impressive. It's not impressive. This is kind of a tangent. I wanted to talk quarterbacks too, but are you starting to believe, Jesse probably knows this too, the conspiracy that Wilt didn't really score 100?
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
Because every time they come out with, like, Jim Thorpe video, they're like, yo, we got video for this, but nobody has video for Wilt's 100-point game.
I'm not going to lie.
It didn't happen.
How many Babe Ruth highlights do I got to see before I can see one of Wilt?
There was just no cameras in the building?
Not one that day.
But we got Jim Thorpe running against Cain and Abel in the Olympics.
Running against Cain and Abel. It was actually a fight over the winner of the race that caused Cain to kill Abel. That's what it was. They were actually just beefing over the bronze medal.
Should have known Jim Thorpe was bad when ESPN put Secretariat in front of him.
God. Now, that's an underrated moment. When we went down the Sports Century 100 athletes and we found like five horses on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Thorpe was great, yeah, but he wasn't better than this horse.
That old Woody
I'll
Page
say that
list.
Greg from Maptrition could whoop Jim Thorpe's ass.
Not good.
I'm looking at these highlights like,
I'm telling you.
These videos. He out here running in loafers. What is this?
Oh, man. Damn. But that all goes back. Ronald Curry, for those of you who aren't. Jesse, you know who Ronald Curry is? You remember Ronald Curry?
Only Currys I know are Steph, and I think there was a Curry that played wide receiver for the Raiders at one point.
Is that the one?
There we go. Let me get points for that.
He started out as a prize quarterback. He was going to play basketball. He was the number one player in the country out of high school in football and basketball.
I do know Ronald Curry then.
He was supposed to be that dude, and he was a quarterback. So that's why it's crazy that you remember the receiver. And he actually was a solid receiver. Another quarterback turned receiver, Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor.
The Raiders used to always do that to the.
Do you guys remember Deion?
He's like the only supplemental draft pick I ever remember happening.
Do you guys remember Deion playing wide receiver and defensive back?
Yeah. He did it. He did it in the Super Bowl with the Niners, and then he did it a couple more times with the Cowboys.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, because there was he did it at the end with the Ravens too, and there was someone on ESPN talking about like they were like just completely forgot about it. I guess so I was wondering like if you guys are the same way, because I remember Deion Sanders was still in the league when I remember watching.
That was a big deal when he did that.
That was so offensive.
I remember watching Deion like you guys, Baltimore Ravens great Deion Sanders.
Oh man.
Hold on, I got more. Dallas Cowboys legend Drew Bledsoe.
Every crew has a young guy around just to piss you off every once in a while.
Hakeem was great on the Raptors. Well, Michael Jordan, legend on the Wizards. There we go.
Well, now you're just lying because he never played.
We all know his last shot was against Utah.
They had a clip Kevin Garnett had the other day talking about Jordan was still busting our ass with the Wizards. Like, he was killing us.
Jordan had some moments with the Wizards. We get our jokes off. But I am actually watching Jim Thorpe highlights, which which is all the more reason to believe that Wilt Chamberlain game never happened. He might have scored, like, 90, and they just fudged the rest of it.
But I'd beat her if that didn't happen either, him scoring 100.
Hey, Wilt, hold this up. What does this mean? Just hold it up, Wilt. Don't worry about it. Just hold it up.